Well, good morning. It is now I can turn more to my job that I'm used to. And you can turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. Maybe before you open your Bibles or before you quite get there, can somebody tell me what's the sum of the focus of Jeremiah 18? Just a guess. Okay, there we go. All right, so we're going to go to the potter and the clay this morning. And hopefully we can learn a few things in that lesson here this morning. I'd like to read the first 17 verses of chapter 18 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 18. And maybe before I start, the main thing is to watch for is this illustration that God wants Jeremiah to understand and go down to the potter's house and learn from what the potter is doing. That's one of the lessons in these first 18 verses and the first start or the 18th chapter. The other thing to notice, if you have your Bibles open to chapter 18, we will look at one other verse that is a key verse kind of in this subject of chapters 18 and 19, which we're not going to go to both chapters. But there's a verse here that says in verse 12, chapter 18, verse 12, this gives you kind of the background or the picture of what's going on with the children of Israel and the nation at this time. This is the attitude. And can you imagine if we would say on Wednesday night we're having a business meeting, and we would conclude that business meeting with this verse? That would kind of give us a summary of where this congregation's at. What it's saying is, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. And so when you think about that as the context, kind of why is God saying in our first 17 verses, why is he saying that, you know, I'm God and Israel can be crushed just the way I would purpose it to do? And he's going to learn this lesson as he watches the potter doing this, making this pottery. So keep that in mind. It's not just, the lesson is, I'm taking it to make it a more applicable lesson to us today in the potter and the clay. But in the context of the technical interpretation of chapters 18 and 19, this is what's going on. This is what Israel, can you imagine Israel saying this? Can you imagine being part of that congregation if you would just put it right here in our own, and you would look at verse 12 and we would conclude that that's where we're at. Well, thankfully, there's evil around us and there's evil things we see and we don't like and so forth. But I believe as a congregation, and it should be a purpose in our heart, that when we have a congregational meeting or a prayer meeting, that it would not end that way. We have people, and I'm looking at people this morning that have a concern with the future. When Zeke talks about the men in the community and so forth, there's things going on, and we're trying to promote the ways of God. And it's not everybody doing their evil imagination of their heart. That's a sad place to be. That's God's people. That was God's people in that day. And so, thank you for still taking an interest as a congregation to really live our life and to put it into practice. The first 17 verses. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, this is what God is saying, arise, Jeremiah, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make. And just catch that. When you're talking about this message going from Jeremiah to the children of Israel, he's supposed to learn this, and that's what he's to portray to the nation, to the children of Israel. He says, what was going on in the potter's wheel, in a very practical sense here, we can easily understand it. What was going on is the pottery he was working on was not going right. There had a flaw in it or a crack in it. And so he says in the end of verse 4, so he made it again, another vessel. That's the message that Jeremiah was to take to these people, and they were God's people. And so that should have really, really spoke to them. It's another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would profit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such a thing? And that's a response to verse 12. Who has heard, who even heard of such a thing? Ask ye among the nations, who hath heard such a thing, heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate. To make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back. And that's saying, I will show them the back of myself. God is saying, I will show them the back of me. Not the blessing of the front of God or the law of God. I will show them the back and not the face in their day of calamity. And so God is giving quite a picture here of his view of what these people's decisions are leading to. And if you read chapter 19, you will find that he does break that vessel like he talks about here in the beginning of the verses. I will try. I think most of us know a little bit about pottery, but I thought this kind of brings it out kind of good that I turned the sound off. The sound is not important, what the man is saying. It's only like a couple minutes here, 5 minutes. But you get the idea. You get the idea that what you're seeing here is the potter's wheel in the bottom. And it's not something that you and I probably ever did or do unless you went to some place where they allowed you to make something. But when I read this, in this scripture, in this timing, this type of making pottery was their normal salad bowls, and their normal bowls that they had were made like this. And so when God is telling Jeremiah to use this as an illustration, it's a very understandable thing. And so without sound, I want you just to watch what he's doing. And if you follow me here, follow me or follow the scripture, God is the potter. And we are the work of his hands. We don't have power to make ourselves what he wants us to be. We work with him, and the illustration does break down because we are not made as puppets. Like the mud does have no life or nothing. But I think it's pretty easy to understand what is being accomplished here is by the hands of God as he makes this vessel. And may that speak to us. We need to yield to him. As we have a choice, creatures of choice. God did not make puppets. And so we need to yield to him where the mud does not have a choice. And so watch here what's happening first of all in this first second when I hit this button. Right there. I don't know if I'm in the way or not. Thank you.
Well, does anybody have any thoughts? I should have maybe pre-warned you, but looks easy.
Looks painful for the
bowl. Okay.
Very, very many lessons or some real things that are in that first part of this bowl making. I just think of that when I said already, that plop just plopped on there. It's just like the message that I get is like when we come to Christ, it just isn't a lot of beauty and shape and value in that clump of clay, or it's just plopped on there. The wheel, if you would, represents life. And if you would go into Jesus' day, they didn't have electric motor running that wheel. They pumped it with their foot like an old-fashioned sewing machine. And then they could make, if I understand, did anybody ever make a bowl or anything at a museum or something?
Somebody did, sure. Make a little something. Was it easy, Hosanna?
Yeah, right? What do you think? Was it easy?
No? Okay.
And so, there's just a few things. Well, go ahead. What else did you see?
Making something from nothing.
Right. And just a bleh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, you said something there about being stiff, but not too stiff or something.
Yeah.
So, to me, I would say that that's a parallel or lesson to our life, our lives. I mean, you can't be just a wet noodle, if you want to say that, in our Christian life. God wants us to stand up for something, and yet we need to be pliable for Him to work us. Anything else?
It kept changing the shape there. At first, I thought it was going to be a cup.
Yeah.
And then it changed to a different shape, and then to a different shape. And mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out where it's going to end up. But I was thinking while you're asking that. You know, we're clay in the potter's hand.
Mm-hmm.
So what about these people that have all kinds of cosmetic flaws?
Mm-hmm.
Are they supposed to be happy with how the Lord made them?
I would say, just like I have to be happy with no hair on top of my head.
I would say that if you really, I mean, that's my first response to what you said, is like we're talking about the beauty of the inside of the person.
I'm not arguing with that. I'm just thinking, you know, that God made us the way He wanted us to be.
Yes.
And most of us, I'm pretty sure even the beautiful people would have something they wish they could be different if they had a choice.
Yeah.
So I don't know why we are that way, but most of us are dissatisfied with how it turned out.
Okay, all right. Anything else? It really caused some, you could see his muscles there. It must cost God something to make us, right? To make us into what? There's a lot of patience going into this thing. There's a lot of energy. What else? Nothing. Okay. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, no. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh. He sees the beginning, what, the end from the beginning, something like that. Very good. A purpose. I think somebody, I think Mel, you might have said something about the water.
Yeah.
Water is the Holy Spirit. If you will use that as a parallel. But the mud in itself needed something, and it's in the potter's hands to make us what he wants. But it, without the water, the power of the water, he really would have a clunky mess that wouldn't come into anything. And so you can easily see the parallel there. I mean, I can anyway. The other thing that I think of as I look at this portion of this video here is the fact that let's remember that God is the maker of this pottery, and it's his hands we see at work, if you will, and it's someone that is very interested, and already was said, in what is going on in every step. If I understand watching a few of these, those of you that worked on it already before, that you have to actually, well, you first of all, you have a plan in mind what you want to end up with, of course, but you have to, in every step, you have to do the right thing. You have to be interested in what's going on in every step. And if I would grab that mud and I would squeeze too hard in the bottom and make that an eighth of an inch, you know, 3 inches up, and pretty soon it just would fall apart because it couldn't take the top of the, it couldn't take the weight of the top. Every process that he does is as important as the last one. And so when God moves in our world, in our life, in frozen pipes or whatever it is, you know, and no baby's coming when we want them to come and so forth. You know, there's a plan that's is very personal. It's something that God has for this piece of pottery to be perfect when it's done, or to be usable when it's done, or being molded into something that's useful. You know, there's a process that is cared for in every step. And so from the youngest person to the oldest here, we need to give our lives to be pliable to him, to allow him to mold us, because he is interested. It's a personal operation of those hands to make that exactly what he's wanting to make in the end. And so today when we sit here and not everything is the way, exactly the way we want it, it's still, if we give ourselves to God, he still has our good in mind for that, what we'll see at the end. That perfect peace that we'll see at the end. A personal God, if you will. We're not just operating on this wheel of life, just on a free wheel coast, roller coaster type of ride. Your life has ups and downs, and mine does too. But it's there for a reason. Can we learn something from that today? Is that something that we can take with us? The God that has us on this wheel is very personal.
The power that's there in that wheel comes from God. We can't do it on our own power. We can do some kind of moral changes in our life. Sometimes we can discipline ourselves enough to do one thing or another, but to be right with God, it is Him that needs to do that. He also has a perfect plan for our life. We need to be pliable and realize that when we go through the hard times, that He has a perfect plan, and He has those every squeeze and every move that He makes is because He has that foreknowledge of that purpose that He has for us way before He ever started. In Philippians 1:6 is a verse that says something about that Paul's confident, and I believe that you and I can read this verse, and I've said this before, that when I was a very young Christian, a man used to quote this verse to me, and just as an encouragement, and he's saying, I had given my life to Christ, but it wasn't going, I was not pliable enough to allow God to work me, but he kept telling me that he's confident, Paul's confident in Philippians 1:6, that he that hath begun a good work in you will finish it, will continue to the end. And so that was a boost, and I'm now 40 years after that, and I still remember him saying it. I can see him saying it to me. And I would like to give that to you this morning again in Philippians 1:6, that although we struggle and we don't always want to, that squeeze and that pressure and the things that God is taking us through, we don't want to experience that. We don't want that. And we want things like we wanted ourselves. But God is taking us through something to mold us, to make us into that perfect thing. And He will not give up. You know, He will not let us down. We can choose to walk away from Him. But remember that as we leave here this morning. He has a finished product in mind. We see patience here, that as he works on the clay, he's tenderly. He didn't see any hammers here yet. I guess we did see that plop in the beginning there. But after that, as he is molding and shaping us, we don't see him using a big sharp chisel that's cutting us in half or cutting this crock in half. But he's tenderly molding and shaping us, and God wants to direct us in a tender way, as the picture shows here. So those are some of the things that there's lots more to make parallels, but I'll finish this. And I hope that as we look at this beauty of the end, and this is not terribly a beautiful bowl, but it's something that's more beautiful than it was when it started. And so can we leave here this morning with a challenge to allow him to do this with our lives? Will you? And we have to answer that each individually. Will we allow him? And so I don't think I can say it any better than this picture would portray it here.
Well, is there any more to be said? Yeah. I would think I just don't think we could grab a piece of mud. I don't think I could and make something like that in the first try. But any other comments? Maybe I should. Okay. The question I want to leave is, will we allow God to do that this week? Hopefully you have that picture in mind to know that it costs God something, and it's us that needs to give our lives to Him to allow Him to make us into something that's nice and useful. Kind of nicer than that mud chunk He had on there the first time, wasn't it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You for today. We ask Your blessing on each one that's here. Just want to pray that as we think about the bowl that was made here, that we would keep that picture in our mind this week as we go through different experiences and maybe difficulties. Help us to be yielded to You and allow You to mold us into what You want us to be. We just want to ask You for strength for that throughout the week and to give us what we need. Ask Your blessing on each one as we part and we go our separate ways, and give us strength to serve You as we go about our ways this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You're excused at this time.